Flyover Politic Podcast, the show for normal Americans. From this undisclosed bunker, here's your host, Tony Reed. Why is it that people view Trump as a seemingly, or treat him like a seemingly Christ-like figure? When, I mean, the Bible specifically says, like, you're not supposed to do that.
I think it's a little bit different. In a secular sort of way, not in an evangelical direct way, you saw Obama treated like this. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. There was a sort of people, not in an evangelical religious
way.
Wait,
we need a shot of Karen's face.
But look, I will say this. When you are president of your party and you're a leader of your party, there is a Hmong base where it is a secular deification in a way. It is. Yes.
Look, I think, as you pointed out, Tim talks about at great length in his book,
Tim Alberta,
this fusion that has happened in the evangelical movement. In the Iowa caucus, we did see that the ad that we've played here before that was likening the birth of Trump to the birth of Jesus, right, where he literally compared him. There have been evangelicals who said, okay, that's too far. And Tim Alberta in his book talks about how some of the evangelical movement are uncomfortable with this fusion and perversion of the teachings.
Do you agree?
No. The ad in a Republican primary where there's a choice among Republicans is a little different. When you get to a general election, that choice will fuse. I don't think you're going to see Biden evangelical votes in Iowa suddenly gaining steam here.
Yeah, but look,
he's not going to lose any votes off that. You know, I think that's a winning issue.
You don't
issue
think he's going to lose?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's a winning issue for him. Press that advantage if you're Trump.
So you think suburban women, let's go back to them, are comfortable with Donald Trump comparing? Let me finish. Are comfortable with him literally saying, I'm your God.
I want to meet
those
sorts of suburban women
voters
who all of a sudden see that one thing and be like, you know what, now I'm turned off.
The way that Trump is treated is just totally different than other political candidates. I don't know if I take your point, but I get people were very excited about Obama, but it was secular and political.
And it was hopeful. It was less about grievance and retribution. But it was with Obama, it was hopeful because of what it, people felt like. I know you'd love to interrupt me, but of what people
felt like it said
the country, that maybe we had moved to a place where this was possible. I think what you see in Trump, though, is more of a grievance narrative.
That's definitely objectively true. That is grievance versus, I mean, hope and change is not the same.
Yeah.
Popular presence of parties always have a certain cult personality around them. Always. It manifests itself differently. Republicans talk about Ronald Reagan. Like, let's not act like this suddenly Trump, this like, oh my gosh, why are people in our base?
And welcome back to Flyover Politic Podcast. It's the 4th of April, year of our Lord.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So, you know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
All right.
Republicans are attacking President Biden for recognizing today as Transgender Day of Visibility. I want to be very clear. This day, this Transgender Day of Visibility, is always on March 31st, has been since 2009. This president has marked it every year since he's been in the White House. The date of Easter changes year to year. I don't need to tell you that. The House Speaker called Biden's announcement abhorrent and said he betrayed the central tenet of Easter. What do you say to that?
Well, apparently, the speaker finds trans people abhorrent. And I think he ought to think about that. The fact of the matter is, as you said, March 31st has been a day to lift up transgender people who endure violence and bigotry. Easter, the date changes every single day. But this is just one more instance of folks who do not know how to lead us, trying to divide us.
And I always say that, you know, the difference between religion and a cult is, in religion, your savior dies for you, as Jesus did. In a cult, you're asked to die for your savior. And, you know, what Donald Trump is doing, it's equal parts the power of positive thinking, which is the church, to the extent that it's a church that he grew up in. But it's also, it's kind of David Koresh. It's kind of Jim Jones, yeah. Because those two men started by saying you need to come to Jesus. They started as Christian evangelizers, but eventually their evangelism said, no, I get to have your wife. No, actually, I get to tell you to kill these federal agents that are outside. I'm asking you to pick up a machine gun and shoot them because I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah.
They, you know, this is Manson stuff, where you stop saying worship God and you start saying, I am God. I am God is what Trump is saying to his followers. Why are they believing it?
Yeah, Joy, in a lighthearted way, you'd simply say Donald Trump is jealous of Jesus, all the attention given to Jesus Christ by the Christians of the world yesterday. But look, this conversation is going pretty deep, and I think you put your thumb on something in this conversation very important. Donald Trump is praying with an EY on the fallibility of faith, right? The whole notion of faith, of Christian faith, Muslim faith, whatever it might be, is that you are putting your trust in something you cannot see, and you are walking by faith and not by sight. And what Donald Trump is doing is saying, wait a minute, let me show you all these reasons you should doubt your faith and you should trust me and you should follow me. That is dangerous. I mean, take the trans proclamation, for instance. It is a weakening of faith to suggest that the Christian world should be concerned about that. People of weak faith are concerned about the actions of government. People of strong faith yesterday know that they have put their faith in a deity that they have entrusted their lives and the future of the world to. Regardless of one's faith, it's a concept that is easily understood. This idea faith. And Donald Trump seizes on the fallibility and creates doubt and then suggests he's the one. He alone can fix all the problems you face when it requires an abandonment of the deity that you have previously put your trust in for those fixes.
Right, because democracy is about we collectively fix the problems through a government we elect. He's saying, no, that's not the way you do it, Jim Wallace. The irony of all of this is trying to compare yourself to Jesus, and the Christ is not his last name, it means the Messiah. The reason that when the people that he was ostensibly hoping to lead, you know, or even not even asking to lead, but was saying, I am an exemplar to my people, one of the reasons they rejected him on the cross is that he was not a warrior God. He was a God who said that I worship my father God, not the Roman emperor God. And because he wouldn't renounce the idea that the empire, the emperor was God, and that he said, no, my father is God, they said, well, we're going to kill you. We're going to crucify you. Donald Trump is the opposite of that. He's saying, I am the emperor God. He's the head of Rome, not Jesus. But he's literally gotten his people to melt down their gold into a calf and worship it. Another sin of people who, if you believe that people should have followed Jesus and didn't, that was the other thing, is that, well, we can't see your works. You're not a visible God. We want a visible God. Trump is saying, no, I'm a visible God. He's literally an idolater, Jim.
How was Easter for you guys?
Great. We spent it up in Camp David. And the whole family, my dad used to say family's the beginning, middle, and end. We had them all up there. We went to Mass on Saturday, and we had a great Easter egg hunt. We actually take these plastic eggs and put some dollars in them.
Oh, nice. No cash.
We're still missing one.
So the Easter egg roll is about to start.
We had
a little problem with the weather, but now the volunteers are getting set. And Dr. Biden, what's the theme this year? This is something close to your heart.
It is. You know, I've been a teacher for over 30 years, so this is education. So as you can see, there's something for everybody here. So we have science projects. We have phys ed class. You can learn about the solar eclipse that's coming. We have a reading nook. We have dinosaurs. Something for everybody, because education just doesn't happen in the classroom.
And as this gets rolling, between now and about 7 o'clock, you'll have 50,000 kids rolling eggs. When you think back on this time so far, what are some of your favorite memories, Mr. President?
Well, my favorite memories are the little girl who was having trouble with her eggs. She looked at me, she's about 3 years old, said, "Can you help me with the pudding?" Can you help me? So I gave her a push. That's my favorite one.
You know, 1878, this started with Rutherford B. Hayes. I think I met him, but, what is
he
it?
A classmate of mine.
One of your classmates. What is so special about this egg roll?
Well, what's so special is this is the people's house. And you expect over 40,000 people to be here, the largest ever. And we just like to open it up, the place, and let people see this is their place. Mm-hmm. And it always makes me feel good to look out there and see average Americans just walking around, looking at what's going on, because they own it. They own it.
So here we are. You're in what's probably your final campaign, and you know, and people are like saying, "Well, I don't know. I'm not so crazy about whatever I've got." What's your message to people about why they've got to engage and get out there to vote?
Well, I think people are going to surprise people again. They're going to engage. An overwhelming response when we're out in the road. Look. We have tens of thousands of people contributing $5-$10 a pop. We've opened up 100 headquarters. We have people waiting to just get engaged. I mean, I just think people are so tired of the negativity that is propagated that they just want to get engaged. They want to change things. And I'm optimistic. I really am.
When people are saying, you know, but Mr. President, I'm feeling, my buck isn't going as far. What do you say to those folks about the economy and what's going on?
Well, I say we have the best economy in the world. We got to make it better. We really do have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up more than they've ever been. We're in a situation where the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years is maintained. We have people who look. I think we're going to find out that what happened is a consequence of the crisis we had in health. Is have a lasting effect, and we just got to get people to move again. We're ready. I mean, I think the country's ready to come together in a way that I've never. I mean that sincerely. I'm truly optimistic.
Yeah, and how are you feeling going into this last campaign?
I feel great. You know, I've been traveling across the country. People are ready to go, and we're going to win this.
And as far as, you know, your memories of this house, you know, I mean, we're assuming, I don't know what the future holds, but what are your favorite memories about this place?
Our kids jumping in bed with us, our grandkids, when they're down here, just sneaking up and jumping in bed with us. That's my favorite memory here. They love it. They love wandering through the hall.
In the case of the president, do you get a sense that his regular attendance and adherence to the faith resonates with American Catholics?
I would say that he's very sincere about his faith, but like a number of Catholics, he picks and chooses dimensions of the faith to highlight while ignoring or even contradicting other parts. There is a phrase that we have used in the past, a cafeteria Catholic. You choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging.
Or, as Thomas Aquinas would say, you allow your conscience to guide you.
Is there something on the menu he's not ordering, in your view,
so to speak? I would say there are things, especially in terms of the life issues, there are things that he chooses to ignore, or he uses the current situation as a political pawn rather than saying, look, my church believes this.
It's also possible to be a practitioner of the faith as a public leader and not require everyone that you lead in your country to be guided by all of the precepts of your faith, right?
And in my coverage of him, it seems that's what he believes.
That's what I would interpret.
Your concern is that he should be more explicit in his own personal belief, which is a personal opposition to abortion, but an understanding that as a public leader and in a free society, he's not to be
place that on everybody else. Right. I'll just say that I worship with the president when he comes to Washington National Cathedral, and I will say the one thing about him that I admire tremendously, there is not a funeral of a statesperson or a statesperson's spouse that he
So the criticism over the transgender day of visibility, the White House said that the president wouldn't abuse his faith for political purposes. Does the president think that's what Republicans are doing?
I mean, look, just a couple of things. And really so surprised by the misinformation that's been out there around this. And I want to be very clear. Every year for the past several years, on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility is marked. And as we know, for folks who understand the calendar and how it works, Easter falls on different Sundays, right? Every year. And this year it happened to coincide with Transgender Visibility Day. And so that is the simple fact. That is what has happened. That is where we are. And I do want to say a couple of things because I think it's important here. As you just stated in your questions, what we've been hearing out there, a lot of misinformation done on purpose. And as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American. Now, sadly, and it's not surprising, right? It is actually unsurprising that politicians are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric. It is dishonest what we have heard the past 24 hours. It is untrue what we heard over the weekend. And, you know, we were at first, want to be very clear, confused. On their coverage. We're grateful that Fox agrees with President Biden about the importance of recognizing Trans Day of Visibility. And I'll just quote something that Fox said back in 2021. They tweeted this: Trans Day of Visibility is dedicated to celebrating transgender people. To all the transgender men, women, and non-binary folk, we see you and stand with you. President Biden will never abuse his faith for political purposes or for profit. That is not what this administration is about. That is not what being a leader is about. And this misinformation out there is just, it's bad. And it is dividing, it is caused to divide us. And I want to say one more quote. This is what Politico covered every year. And I said this at the top of my answer, Transgender Day of Visibility is on March 31st. This year, March 31st just so happens to be also Easter, the date of which changes every year. That's how I started.
Yeah, that's nice. We can lie. We can lie. Then you do go a whole thing about, oh, the right's so bad that they noticed that we shoved this on Easter and we're fucking bitch slapping conservatives who are fucking or Christians because Christians are horrible. And you bring on an ex-conservative guy to say how crazy the weekend is because the right got pissed off about what you did.
David, but yet on this day after Easter, we're looking at a whole weekend of these types of upside down realities where Trump takes reality, twists it, and throws it against his people. I have to ask, though, about the people who have the means, whether it be leadership positions, financial means, educational means, who could, if they were invited or if they donated, go to Mar-a-Lago on a Saturday night and then go to church and celebrate Jesus's love on a Sunday morning.
Well, you know, what we saw on Easter Sunday was a remarkable display of venom and hatred. I mean, really to the point, Mika, where you're right to wonder, is he okay? And we know the answer is no, he's not okay. But what's even more disturbing than that venom and hatred on Easter Sunday itself was the buildup of Holy Week. It featured Trump sharing posts where he compared himself in calling a post where a supporter compared him to Jesus and the trials he faces in court in New York to the trials Jesus faced is a beautiful post. He's selling Bibles. And then, you know, the sad thing is this isn't just confined to Trump anymore. We used to be able to say, or used to try to comfort ourselves by saying, well, Donald Trump is the bad guy. And then there's just so many good people who are fooled. And there are still good people who are fooled by him. But it's become increasingly clear that Trumpism and that Trump ethic is really leaking into American Christianity itself. As we saw when during Holy Week, Christians all over Twitter were posting Christ is King, specifically aimed at Jewish Americans, specifically aimed to assert religious dominance in a very gross and ugly way. And we're seeing this just leak out, Mika, and it is very distressing. But even more than that, it is very dangerous.
See, this stuff is out of control. This is J.K. Wallen, so Scotland Hate Crime Act. So basically, you say anything about these protected class, they're hate crime. And this person right here, well, come the fuck on, man. That shit don't look cool. This is a protected class. You can do this. You can get with this, but you can't get with that. You can get with this, you can't get with that. She's got a fucking bat and a fucking knife, saying she's going to kill people. Yeah, that's not nice. Nancy Pelosi, Cesar Chavez Day. She's a Catholic. This is the after action thing. Jill and I send our warmest wishes to Christians around the world celebrating the power of hope and promise of Christ's resurrection as we gather in love, blah, 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 blah. Happy Easter. And somebody returns this, and it's just so fucking... I fucking love that. I love the internet. There you go, POTUS. We're going to do some vids now. These are all libs o' TikTok. I'm just going to play them all together. I'm going to play them because this is what we had this Easter weekend. We have a church that got set on fire in Portland by trans activists. A trans activist dressed like Jesus. Trans activists crashing a session with a Catholic service. Not a session. One of those people that are all about their bullshit and getting mad because they didn't get their fucking way in a pronoun game. And then more board stuff. We're in a school board. We're just saying this is what you guys are doing because Easter is fucking heinous. But teaching kids how to butt fuck is so...
Not by the help of this version of Jesus.
Yes, I cry.
Return of the man.
It is.
Return of the man.
Come on.
Return of the man.
Oh my God.
You know that I'll be back.
Here I am.
Or this.
a queer fat club.
I'm queer and fat.
Okay, thank you for joining. We're just introducing ourselves at the moment.
Okay.
Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, Joe?
Yeah, my name's Joe. I go by he, they, and I identify as 275 pounds.
Okay, okay.
I feel like Jay's kind of making fun of me, though. I know it's kind of a shock. I know, kind of a new thing.
I'm just, you know, monk.
Do what?
I said I apologize.
Oh, no, you're good.
Are you comfortable leaving the group at the moment?
Why?
I'm not understanding why you're joining the group.
This is the queer and fat group now.
Yeah.
That's what I came here for.
Okay. And you said you identify as fat?
Yeah.
Okay. This is just for fat-bodied people.
Yeah, I understand. I identify as a fat-bodied person.
I'm not understanding where you're coming from.
Are you guys comfortable with me here? I mean, I'm pretty chill on my end.
I'm not comfortable, no.
Can we take, like, a vote?
I'm gonna ask you to...
Denise Bell. Thank you for coming tonight to speak. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Denise Bell, and I'm the chapter chair for Moms for Liberty Harris County. I just want to say thank you to the pastor. I agree with everything he just said. And I know that y'all want to do the right thing. This isn't about book banning at all. It's about age-appropriate material being in front of our children. That's it. It has nothing to do with book banning. You can buy any book or borrow any book from a public library in the United States. Nothing is banned. I am going to read a selection tonight from a book called What Girls Are Made Of. It's a very disturbing book. It's by Alana K. Arnold, and it's found in Dulles and Clements High School. Okay. I'm sorry in advance for what I'm reading. I pull him out of his underwear, and he's soft in my hand. I don't look up at his face before I open my mouth, and I pull him into it. And I pull and I suck until he grows hard and he makes sounds that mean he likes it. And I keep going and going. And when he says, I'm going to come, I don't pull away. The jet of him is warm and salty and tastes like thickened sweat. He breathes hard and his hands are tight fists at his eyes. I'm going to skip down. Yet I, least of all souls, take him in my hand, eat him and drink him, and I do with him what I will. And this is the part that's really troubling to me as a Christian. It's a real thing written by a religious mystic way back in the 13th century. She was talking about worshiping Jesus, but come on. She was talking about sex, right? Sex with Jesus. That was what she wanted, to give Jesus head. And I totally understood it. Another selection. Seth pushed down my cutoffs and bikini bottoms and went to the ground with them, looking up at me as he pressed his tongue to my skin. My legs were shaking, so I sat down on the edge of the bed and my legs fell open to make room for his mouth. He licked and licked like a cat at a bowl of cream, and when the inside of me felt as wet as the outside, we tried again. This time, Seth touched my face and looked into my eyes as he fit his penis up against me as he pushed inside. This is not for kids. This is not for minors. This doesn't belong. Our tax dollars should not be putting this material in our schools. Please do the right thing and remove this from your libraries. Thank you.
Thank you for coming tonight.
One of the workshops was how to be a drag queen. And I've got to tell you, didn't set well with me. You have seventh grade and up, so we have now a workshop, how to be a drag queen. Tell me, as a grown woman sitting here before you, what life skills are we teaching these kids on how to be a drag queen? I'm missing the point here, but I'm certainly open-minded. And I'd like to know that when they have this drag queen workshop, we considered it acceptable, and that Sutton School's mission statement was in line with this? Like, how does the workshop truly help a student? You know, you have a 30-year-old male that comes in a pink miniskirt with white lace underwear, and he's telling the kids that his breasts are freezing, but he didn't use the word breast. And he's having the kids choose a drag queen name. Now, this is in school, okay? I don't care outside of school, believe me. I have host students that have stayed at my house. But I'm telling you, in school, for him to be saying that and then to have them pick a drag queen name, I'm losing sight here on what we're trying to do. And then from there, with his pink miniskirt and his white lace underwear, to proceed to dance on the tables so the kids can see under the skirt. Okay, you got to help me here, folks. And dancing, and then proceeded to do cartwheels. So when you're doing a cartwheel with a miniskirt on and white lace underwear, you're exposing your underwear. Your panties, you can see your panties. I don't think this is age appropriate. I don't believe that it belongs in the school. And that's why I'm here tonight. So we went from a drag queen workshop, and now we have a drag queen show.
James Wood hits it. This vile hypocrite banned any reference to Christ on the most holy of Christian holidays, but honors transvestites instead. We need to say anything else? I don't think we do. I don't know where we're going. I don't know where we're going. I don't know where we've been. All I know is we're in a bad way morally, and I'm usually not moral. This is the... is this secretary? No, that's Pierre. That's not going to read it. This is the education secretary. Morning. We've done throughout this administration, HHS flew the transgender flag to honor Transgender Day of Visibility, March 29th, all weekend. Today, I'm thinking about our country's great transgender, non-binary, and two-spirit leaders who epitomize resilience, progress, and joy. Transgender Day of Visibility is an opportunity to celebrate their accomplishment. Here's my thing. This is supposed to be the most hated class in America. They're treated like shit. They have to hide who they are. These people get more press than anybody else I see. 200 Bibles were just burned in Tennessee. No comment. Why would they burn? Let's find out. Suspicious trailer fires, Winston County, Tennessee. Road closure at Old Lebanon. At 6 a.m. this morning, Mount Juliet Police Department and Fire Department swiftly responded to a trailer fire located at the intersection of Old Lebanon Dirt Road and Channel Road. Upon arrival, it was confirmed the trailer fell within our jurisdiction. The fire promptly extinguished by the diligent efforts of the Fire Department. Following the containment of the fire, Wilson County Sheriff's Office deputies and detectives assumed control of the investigation. The trailer, containing Bibles, had been dropped off in the middle of the intersection and then intentionally set on fire. To uphold the integrity of the ongoing investigation, other specific details cannot be provided. You didn't hear that. But if it was Muslim, oh, you'd fucking hear that. X is an actual gender now. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's nice. Nice. Jill Biden throws temper tantrum when informed that Trump is dominating Biden in battleground states, because she doesn't want to ever hear that stuff. I mean, why would she? It's her husband. Here's two positive, a Christian pastor and the guy from The Chosen, on The View of all places, talking about Christ. I mean, that's just crazy on Easter week.
It's crazy that people don't realize by now that pretty much the left is against Christianity. You don't know what I'm talking about? Check this out. Whitehouse.gov. Y'all know today is Easter. You know today is Easter. Look what Biden has done. And his regime. Transgender Visibility Day. Oh, Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter. This is what this regime, this was the left. They don't care about Christianity at all. And if you're a Christian and you support this, you gotta start doing some thinking. Listen, y'all, I'm not here to be long-winded. I'm not here to preach. It's Easter. It's Resurrection Day, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day, this day, for my sins and your sins. I believe that with my whole heart. I confess that to the world. It's not an issue for me, all right? Christians, you gotta be careful who you're supporting out here. Right? Make sure what you're supporting aligns with your Christian values, your Christian beliefs. They literally picked the day that is pretty much most important to most Christians, and they made it a transgender day. This is done on purpose. This is not on accident. They're doing this to try to make Christianity go away. It's not gonna happen. I'm gonna keep talking. I'm gonna keep believing. You guys do the same. This is done on purpose. Happy Sunday. Happy Resurrection Sunday. You guys enjoy your day. Stay blessed. Stay safe. And at the end of the day, and at the end of all this, you guys know Jesus is King.
But those jobs weren't actually paying the bills. So you considered at some point kind of giving up on this. How did you decide to stay the course? Yeah.
Well, I worked here in New York City after college in production. I was a location scout, and that was how I made a decent living. But I had started working, MTV Celebrity Deathmatch was the first acting job I ever had. So from that point, I always had a curiosity about, like, well, I wonder what this would look like if it went further. And fast forward to the housing market collapsing in 2008. I had booked a few other jobs. I started booking television, and I thought, okay, well, this is an opportunity to see if I can actually make this work. So I moved to LA, and for 8 years, I didn't have the safety of the job that I left in New York. It's a different unions and all sorts of complications to do the same thing in LA, but that's not what I was going to LA for. So I had to do all these other jobs, side jobs. I drove rideshare, I worked in catering, all these things that I'd never done before. And gotten to the point where I was broke, I was out of money, I was out of food, I was out of even government assistance for food. And the only thing I hadn't done at that point was the thing that was left to do, which was to get on my knees and surrender my entire life and my career and everything that I had up to that point over to God. Because there wasn't anything I realized I could do on my own.
Well, you were a believer before that?
Yeah, yeah. I was raised with the faith from a child, but it really wasn't until after that moment, it was about almost 6 years ago now, where I just said, Jesus, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything. And that day, I received this incomprehensible financial miracle that
24% of LGBTQ adults say they've had a negative health thing because they didn't pronoun them or they didn't do what they were supposed to do because they did want to pronoun them and they got cancer. That happens all the time because you can't get a passenger. I hear people actually complaining it. Secret files show our international group pushes shocking gender surgery. Newly filed, the world's leading transgender healthcare organization revealed it is pushing hormone and surgical transition for minors, including stomach wrenching experiment procedures designed to create sexless bodies. What is that? Gender nullification. Let me scoot this over. Nullo, our unique procedure, involves removing all external genitalia to create a smooth transition from the abdomen to the groin. In some cases, it involves shortening the urethra. For patients born with the uterus, hysterectomy is required prior to any genital nullification procedure. Your specific goal can be discussed as one of your surgeons. You need to get LL, you need to get all sorts of stuff. Here is actually, God, it's just fucking sick. Fucking shit.
Hello, I'm Curtis Crane from the Crane Center of Transgender Surgery. I'm a board certified plastic surgeon and a fellowship trained reconstructive urologist. And today we're doing a Facebook Live session for you on non-binary surgical options. I've had many questions submitted from patients, and I'll go through these. As I go through these, feel free to send in questions in the comments section on the Facebook page, and we'll get to as many questions as we can. So first question that I have is, what does non-binary mean? I have an engineering background, and so when I think of binary, I immediately think of binary code, which is zeros or ones. When it comes to gender, binary typically means male or female. So non-binary is a term used to say you don't believe there is just male or there is just female. There's a continuum between male and female. What does non-binary surgical options does Crane Center offer? We offer everything you can think of. I opened this practice 8 years ago. I've seen at this point thousands of patients from the community, and I can't think of a time that a patient has come up with a surgical request that I haven't been able to fulfill. And I believe that's because I'm one of the only ones in the world that's a plastic surgeon, did a fellowship in transgender surgery, a urologist, and did a fellowship in reconstructive urology. So with having the armamentarium of both a plastic surgeon and a reconstructive urologist, I really can come up with sort of any reasonable surgery that a patient asks for. In the beginning of my practice, within the first year, I'd say, I had a trans man come to me, and he wanted a phalloplasty, but he wanted to keep his vagina. And I said, well, you know, no problem. I've never been asked to do this, and there's certainly not anything published on it, and I've never seen it, but I'm happy to think about this for you. And so I went home, and as always, I go on a run and I do some soul searching, and I think, well, you know, is this okay? I think is the first question. And I quickly came to the conclusion, yes, it is. Being a trans man or trans woman has, or non-binary, it has nothing to do with your anatomy. It has nothing to do.
No, not my eyeballs. My balls. You know, down there, the danglers. Yeah, I had them removed in 2018. It's called an orchiectomy. As I consider myself to be a genderless dragon, and I will at some point get a full penectomy, and I will have no gender, no genitalia to identify my gender. I love that. Yeah. Bye-bye, balls. Bye-bye. It's been nice knowing you.
Yep, that's a real thing, man. I looked it up. I was, like, astounded. That's what I found. So, that's all our Easter stuff. That's more important. All that shit's more important than you, Christ, anything. You're a piece of shit if you believe in God. You have to believe their religion and the religion of intersectionality. And it's scary as fuck. Every person who overran the fucking border, yeah, they get to live, all right? They get to live. Or they get free. They just get to go the fuck away. Nobody's going to do anything to stop them. They will never have to come back. It's fucking unbelievable. Media. Identical migrant crime talking points. And Jonathan Meir suggests that Israel's strike on aid worker was intentional. We'll start our next section.
Trump trying to turn the focus to the border and what he is now calling migrant crime.
Every state is now a border state. Every town is now a border town because Joe Biden has brought the carnage and chaos and killing from all over the world and dumped it straight into our backyards.
But in fact, data shows undocumented immigrants are actually less likely to commit violent crimes than American citizens. Biden campaign pointing out that Trump himself pressured congressional Republicans to block the toughest bipartisan border security bill in generations because he wanted to run on the issue in November. President Biden urging Republicans to support the measure.
Look, folks, we had a simple choice. We can fight about fixing the border or we can fix it. I'm ready to fix it. Send me the border.
Israel and the supporters of Israel, which I am, have been, always will be, would be fooling themselves if they don't think that the overwhelming number of Americans agree with Jose Andreas, that this is just enough. And they need to focus on a permanent ceasefire. They need to focus on getting the hostages home, and they need to focus on creating a world moving forward without Hamas, and of course in Israel it will be without Benjamin Netanyahu, and maybe, just maybe then, we can take the first step of 1,000 steps toward a two-state solution.
Those vehicles couldn't have been better marked. In fact, it looks like from the footage of the destroyed van, one of the missiles went right through the logo of the World Central Kitchen, right there, right through the logo, and just killed everyone inside. And it should be noted, to Richard's point earlier, you know, this mistake hit comes a day after the precision strike that killed the Iranian general in Syria. It's hard to reconcile those two things. And now, at least, we have a moment where, you know, the president, and this has been bubbling up from behind the scenes for a while, President Biden, frankly, is furious at Prime Minister Netanyahu. But yet, still, his administration has not conditioned sales, weapons sales, conditioned aid. They haven't done it yet. Now, maybe this is the moment that comes. This also happens just, we think, a week or two, perhaps, before this Rafah offensive, which really could be a flashpoint.
Okay, I'm so sick of hearing how upset President Biden is. The buck stops with him. If he wants to stop arms sales, if he wants to stop the bombs that are indiscriminately killing civilians, he can. He has the power. We don't need him going and his aides going to reporters and talking all back around about how upset they are.
We got a media that sucks asshole, man. So fucking bad. So fucking bad. I got my Biden-Harris bumper sticker to put on my car. Unfortunately, my wife won't let me. We live in a very red state, and she drives my car a lot, so she's afraid that she will get harassed, tailgated, pushed off the road, assaulted, abused, or worse. Some people have... sorry, I should have opened it all the way up because it's a rant. Experiences violence for supporting Joe Biden. I support her, so I'm going to leave it off. But it's horrible that we live in a time in the U.S. when the evil, violent, abusive, tyrant Republicans and their supporters are not being held accountable for the threats. We're living in another Hitler, Nazi Germany. And I stop. If you bring out Hitler, you don't have an argument. After reading this tweet, I spent 90 minutes scouring the internet for stories in my deep red state regarding news stories and police reports of what this man described. Zero. Most people just get the opposite team. I had a Trump flag. Didn't like him. Put it up. One of those little signs. Because my neighbors were all Hillary Clintons. Said, fuck you. Reporting team led by the AP investigated police tactics that are supposed to be fatal, like physical restraints and tasers. They found them on 1,000 deaths over the decade across the U.S. More than 1,000 deaths over a decade. So no more than 1,999, but no less than 1,000 over a period of a decade. And a country built upon 50 states with a population of 331.9 million. Water has killed more people. It's true. It's 100% true. Here are two cows together. We got Wallace freaking out about Trump. And we have Killary, once again, on Jimmy Fallon, talking about the end of fucking days. Hillary, get over it and not be deplorable in November. I don't understand why this is even a hard choice. Really, I don't understand it. Most of us understand it.
So, you know...
It's time to do something different. Like, we're not going to have this conversation again. I have come on the air with breaking news about requests for gag orders because of threats for judges and their kids more times than I could count today before I got ready. And Judge Luttig, I think it's time. I don't know who has to write the banners at the bottom of my show. I'm sorry in advance. But Donald Trump broke the rule of law. We should cover a broken judiciary in this country. Donald Trump managed to delay every federal criminal trial based on facts that he barely denies. Donald Trump managed to enlist the Supreme Court in a delay process, the highest court in the land. Donald Trump brazenly and repeatedly attacks not just judges, and I've had the privilege of sitting across not just from you, Judge Luttig, but from Judge Esther Salas, whose son was assassinated by a crazy person. Judges don't have Secret Service protecting them. They don't even always have, I mean, her child answered the door. What are we going to do different? Because Donald Trump sure as hell isn't changing.
Yeah. Can we talk about the upcoming presidential election?
Oh, no.
Yes, we have to. We have to. No, no more Easter Bunny talk. Yeah. I mean, it's Biden versus Trump.
Yes,
we know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, yeah, love that.
Right? And,
yeah,
and
good.
You know, it's kind of like one is old and effective and compassionate, yeah, has a heart and really cares about people, and one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
So, yeah, okay.
I mean.
Okay, interesting.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice, really.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have to go through the election, and hopefully people will realize what's at stake, because it's an existential question. What kind of country we're going to have, what kind of democracy we're going to have. And people who blow that off are not paying attention, because it's not like Trump, his enablers, his empowerers, his allies are not telling us what they want to do. I mean, they're pretty clear about what kind of country they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
get out there and vote.
Get out there and vote.
This next vid is literally in London, where they're having huge fucking protest still. No hostages, no ceasefire, and bring them home, echo through the streets of London. Finally, the other side is being seen in a city that tens of thousands saying free Palestine. Ex-Biden flack goes on CNN and says the accidental shooting is good for Biden.
The work of WCK is critical. They are the front lines of humanity. We will get to the bottom of this, and we will share our findings transparently.
Wow, the IDF launching an investigation into the death of seven aid workers from Jose Andres' World Central Kitchen. They were killed in an Israeli airstrike in central Gaza. The organization says that they had coordinated their movements with the IDF and that they were in marked vehicles with their logo on them. World Central Kitchen is one of the few aid organizations providing desperately needed food to those in Gaza. The organization now pausing operations there. The White House this morning calling this tragedy deeply troubling. Kate Bedingfield, I want to start with you because, look, the World Central Kitchen, Jose Andres' operation, has become world-renowned for showing up in the moments when humanity is having some of its toughest experiences and helping people. They are known throughout the country in this way. It's clear from that video that we showed at the top, right? The IDF just put that out as this is unfolding, that they understand just how horrible this is, yeah, and certainly just how horrible also that it looks.
Oh, yeah.
What is the impact here for the Biden administration? Because the politics of this are already so tough for them.
Yeah. Well, obviously, this is a horrific tragedy, a true humanitarian disaster, I think it's fair to say. You know, for the Biden administration, obviously, this is an incredibly fraught issue. I think the more space they can continue to draw between themselves and Bibi Netanyahu and Netanyahu's government, the better for them politically. From a policy perspective, I think they've been trying to drive toward a longstanding sort of post-conflict plan. I think Bibi's own domestic politics have made it so that he is unwilling to engage in that in a serious way. And so every instance of horror like this gives the Biden administration more opening to put clear contrast between what they're trying to do, what they would argue they are trying to do responsibly in the region, and what Netanyahu has been unwilling to do. I personally think is good for them. So I think they need to be clear that this was unacceptable. It was horrific. They need to move to support Israel's investigation into what happened and to take a very tough line on this. And I think this is a moment for them to do that.
That's fucked up, yo. And this next one, are we all the April Fools? $236 billion in federal taxpayer money lost or wasted last year. 14 agencies reported a total estimate of $236 billion in improper payments across 71 programs. This should not have been made and were an incorrect amount. The $236 billion calculation does not include certain government programs that agencies determined were susceptible to significant improper payments. SSGO believes the $236 billion estimate potentially does not present the full extent of the improper payments. Medicare account for a large percentage of the government incorrect payments, totaling $51.1 billion. Unemployment assistance, things like that. Yeah, yeah, that's shit, man. Get over it, bro. Get over it, bro. Get over it. Just get the fuck over it. Let's see. The days of taxpayer-funded indoctrination training that saw division and racism are over. Under the direction of POTUS, we are directing agencies to halt critical race theory trainings immediately. That was 2020. Hi. You can't be racist against white people. Thanks for tuning in. With notes. Axios. Trump returns to the White House. Close allies want to dramatically change the government interpretation of civil rights. Anti-white racism. How about this? The Biden administration released different things. In the Spanish version, there is no reference of Trans Visibility Day. But in the English one, there is. Because he's losing in a big fucking way. Hispanics. So they're not down with the tranny stuff. The religious Catholics. Then they took another. This is the kind of improper shit that if a Republican did would be a huge problem, but it's not because it's a Democrat. Here's another Biden admin advertisement.
The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals.
So I'm going to release back-to-back MSDNC, or is it CNN? It's CNN. If you focus on illegal crime, it's just demonizing black and brown people. And then a Denver official pretty much saying, hey, a top official in Denver just caught on tape begging illegals to leave the city. Denver newcomer lies on any city. We can take you to the Canadian border, whatever. He promised them that there were better stuff waiting for them in Chicago, New York, because they can't afford all this fucking bullshit.
And as part of that crime push, he's actually invited the family of a woman named Ruby Garcia to his Michigan event. Ruby Garcia was recently killed here in Michigan by an undocumented immigrant, and police authorities say that it was a domestic dispute.
Look, the fact that Trump is going to be pushing what you just heard him talking, he's trying to call it an epidemic. It's, you know, there are certainly some high-profile examples of some violence. He's calling it migrant crime. I call it high profile because in many ways conservative media is trying to focus on a couple of really horrible events and make it as if it's make it sound like it is more broad than it is. Fact.
Yeah, Dana, the playbook is largely going to remain the same. He wants to continue to demonize immigrants. He wants to continue to try to argue to Americans, these brown folks, they are the real reasons for your problems. The issue, though, when I speak to voters, is that by and large, this is not where the anxieties lie. So voters will often address the economy, stagnant wages, high grocery prices, buying a home, as all real concerns. But because he is using this playbook again of punching down on immigrants...
Opportunities are over. That's Andres Carrera, political director for Denver Mayor Mike Johnston.
New York te da más, Chicago te da más. Entonces sugiero que vaya por allá, donde hasta también con una verde de más largo plazo, también hay más oportunidades de trabajo por allá.
Carrera is Denver's so-called newcomer communications liaison. That means that he meets the busloads of new arrivals. The city says this group got here on March 26, sent up by Texas's Republican Governor Greg Abbott. He warns them the jobs, the resources, the opportunities have already gone to the 40,000 migrants who came to Denver before them.
Mira, no te vamos a bloquear. Si quieres permanecer aquí, no estoy aquí para bloquearte. Estoy aquí para avisarte que tu camino no ha terminado. Si permanecen aquí, vas a sufrir hasta más. Y eso no lo quiero ver.
Parents listen quietly as children play on the floor. As Denver tells these families that have sometimes walked from one continent to another, that they just have to keep moving. But they don't have to walk. Denver will buy them a bus ticket.
Tu camino no ha terminado. Tu camino no ha terminado. Que viajas un tantito más. No tienes que caminar por ningún parte. Podemos comprarte boleto gratuito. Gratuito. Puedes ir a cualquier ciudad. Hasta la frontera de Canadá te llevamos. Donde sea. Donde sea.
You know, the day I watched a YouTube thing and a lady from, it was England, fucking with the guy in a Tesla because he had his engine running and it's polluting the atmosphere. And he tried to explain it's electric. She didn't understand it. So here's some eco-terrorists. It's what they are. Pouring oil over an electric car at the New York Auto Show. No electric vehicles on a dead planet. But they don't want us they want us to ride by.
The emergency brakes.
In jail.
You should be in jail.
You go to jail.
Crimes against humanity.
You go to jail.
You want to cover up your crimes? We're not going to let you cover up your crimes.
What about the crime you just committed?
The crime of telling the truth? What is simply the truth of the crime?
Emergency! A climate emergency! Our love of cars is killing us! It is killing the earth! Electric vehicles will not save us! They will not save us! There's no cars on a dead planet!
Come on, get out of here, you asshole!
We need to change! There's another way!
What is it? We've had a blast of the eruption, folks. This is the 4th Division of the
So we're going to run into the last two sound bites of this show in reference to what they're going to bank on, that they're going to win the election, Biden. You have an abortion cut, and you have a woman who's talking about how she's soft and she wants a masculine man, but she's a man. Those are the two causes. It's all woke. They don't have any plans for you. They're not going to help your life. You're a piece of shit. They don't care about that stuff. They want illegals to take over the country because they got them for about 6 or 7 years because they give them citizenship and they think it's going to work. So they have all these untapped voters. Those are important. You're a piece of garbage. Take it straight into not This America. Lighter Fare. Got a couple freedom tunes that are Matt Best, and we'll close the show.
We turn now to the race for the White House, abortion rights front and center, and will it put the state of Florida in play? Tonight, President Biden blasting the state's new 6-week abortion ban, one of the strictest in the country, before many women know they're pregnant. The president calling it outrageous. Former President Trump on the campaign trail today saying suburban housewives like Trump. Rachel Scott in Wisconsin.
Tonight, President Biden denouncing the Florida State Supreme Court's ruling, clearing the way for the state to ban abortion at 6 weeks, before most women even know they're pregnant, calling it outrageous. The president saying the law puts the health and lives of millions of women at risk. But Biden's campaign now seizing on the court's other major decision, allowing Florida voters a chance to protect abortion rights on the November ballot. The campaign saying that now puts Florida in play.
No one's going to marry you, Hernan. Like, you have a beard. Mm-hmm. No one's going to date you, Hernan. You have a beard. No one's going to be your boyfriend, Hernan. You have a beard. You are not a preference to a lot of men. And then I'll get really feminine men message me, but that's not who I'm attracted to, Hannah. Mm-hmm. I like really masculine men because I am very soft. I'm so different to what you see like on TV, you know, on TV.
Well, I've never seen you on TV.
Generally you'll see, oh, she's strong. She's, you know, what she's talking about is very powerful, whatever people say. But then at home, I'm very quiet. You know, I'm very feminine, I'm very soft. People don't get to see that side of me, you know? It has been difficult. Where I wanted to be married and have kids, I would never be a single mom. That's not what I've ever wanted.
All over the toilet seat to give my girlfriend something to clean while giving unsolicited dieting advice to plus-sized women on social media. Then I knock the muffler off my car to make it as loud as possible so more women will be attracted to me in case I need to cheat on my girlfriend because she's getting too confident.
That's what this chick thinks being a man is?
Grace, dude, this guy's awesome.
Day 17 of boyhood. I've been wearing the same underwear since I transitioned, and today I got LASIK to make myself colorblind so I can do a better job dressing like a complete moron. I also carried socks around with me so I could drop them on the floor everywhere I went without any consideration for who has to pick them up.
For real?
You gotta see this guy. He's sick, bro.
Day 29 of boyhood. I'm going to couples therapy to learn about my girlfriend's needs so I can more consciously ignore them.
Yo, what? This guy's awesome.
Are you kidding me? This is clearly just a woman who hates men degrading you guys.
Why are you calling this brave and based king a woman?
You know what? Fine, be my guest. Act like this guy. See where it gets you.
Day 50 of boyhood. I had a child with my girlfriend and then left her. Then I went on a red pill podcast to publicly embarrass a bunch of 19-year-old girls. I also have to pick my new friend, Terminally Online Political Philosophy, this week. I'm thinking anarcho-simp codfish. Day 87 of boyhood. I relieved myself in public. It was near a park, and I got arrested. Ugh, transphobia. When will they stop hassling us over where we go to the bathroom? Day 89 of boyhood. I have a court date, but I'm not too worried. Male privilege should bail me out of this. Day 1 of 18 months.
See? I told you that girl wasn't cool. Have you learned your lesson about emulating her?
I guess you're right. Maybe I shouldn't have gotten swept up by a cross-dresser playing to the most base insulting stereotypes.
Shush, the new Dylan Mulvaney video's up!
Day 658 of girlhood. Today I'm shoving a tampon in every orifice.
This cartoon is not for children.
Stop! What are you doing? This is the women's locker room.
How dare you! Do you know how many queer teenagers kill themselves every day because people like you exclude trans women from female spaces?
Oh, give me a break. Get out of here, you creeps!
Creeps?
That's like four dead gay teenagers right there! How many more must die?
What? How is that possible?
That's just how it is. Step on a crack, break your mother's back. Don't let me see you naked. You're gonna kill a gay kid. Yep. So.
What?
Oh, how many gay teenagers have to kill themselves before we're allowed in the locker room?
So heart-wrenching. No, stop! Don't let them manipulate you. The only ones in danger here are us.
Did I hear that someone's in danger?
We are. This man's trying to enter our locker room.
Ma'am, you're under arrest for attempted murder of gay teenagers everywhere.
What?
No, make her stay in here with us. For tolerance lessons.
Yeah!
Are you all kidding me? He's holding a camera!
The camera identifies as a part of my body.
Oh yeah? What part?
My penis. Ah, crap!
In today's news, a brave and beautiful trans woman has just informed us that a Mexican stole her penis.
They took my penis!
And to be clear, you mean your camera, right?
No, they let me keep that.
Every single year, you talk about how bad Christmas music is. If it's that bad, why don't you make your own song?
Maybe I will.
Maybe you should.
Well, last year Christmas took a toll, 'cause all I got was a lump of coal. But I'll be damned if I don't make out this year. I helped old ladies cross the road, and I seen a couple Eskimos from the cold. So Santa, are you listening? I'm riding up a list, and you know I've been a good old boy. I want 5, 5, 6 boom boom sticks. I'm matching pair of nines like the real John Wick. Shot it for my truck, yeah, I like that shit. I don't need more socks, I need cloths. Stuff my stocking with some real good scotch. All I want for Christmas is some redneck shit. All I want for Christmas is some redneck shit. But Santa, if you could just come in clutch, I got a big old Texas list for you this year. I gave up booze for half a day, and I listened to my wife and what she had to say. So Santa, are you listening? I'm riding up a list, and you know I've been a good old boy. I want a lasso made of dead cord, a brick of C4, about to say goodbye to the old front door, a 10 Nugent Monument, 5 Claymores. Need a crossbow and a new boat, eat a million red boats. A fistful of gift cards to Bass Pro. Yeah, all I want for Christmas is some redneck shit. Yeah, all I want for Christmas is some redneck shit.
Santa's real, motherfuckers.
Oh, Santa, won't you please spend me those shitty gifts underneath my tree. Santa, please just read my Christmas list. Come on, come through for me. I want an ATV for hunting trophies, a matte black wrap on my old Chevy, a couple tins of wintergreen underneath.
Underneath my tree, I want a bald eagle eating apple pie, maybe sitting on Mount Rushmore waving a big freedom boner.
Real John Wick, a shot it for my truck, yeah, I like that shit.
Mariah Carey sucks.
I don't need more socks, I need gloss. Stuff my stocking with some real good scotch. All I want for Christmas is some redneck shit.
God bless Texas. Merry Christmas, y'all, from my family to you.
Want to close on this. A majority of gender-confused kids grow out of that feeling by the time they're fully grown adults, according to a long-term study. Research in the Netherlands, where they make R libs look conservative, tracked more than 2,700 children from age 11 to the mid-20s, asked them every 3 years of feelings about their gender. Results showed at the start of the research, around 1 in 10 child, 11%, expressed gender non-contendedness to varying degrees. But by age 25, just 1 in 25, 4% said they often or sometimes are discontent with their gender. The research concluded the results of the current study might help adolescents to realize it's normal to have some doubts about one's identity, one's gender identity during this age period, and that this is also relatively common. Which is exactly why drugs should not be given, nor any life-altering and, yes, mutilating surgeries. It's called FIRST, do no harm. Welcome to another episode of Conservatives. We're saying this 10 years ago. GLADS research never responded. They went back to the regular gender. That's where the 80% comes from. And because the left is pushing so far, we have Trump saying that November 5th is going to be Christian Visibility Day. And some of you would say, well, that's really good, man. That's good shit. That's important, man. We need that. What we're doing is we're getting into the same mold that we were under Obama and other ones. We basically are having two separate Americas. Every state has different this, every this has that. And I'm good with state rights. I understand the whole country is totally different. I mean, it is different as night and day. I get it. But this is when people get fucked over driving with a concealed carry permit and say, Chicago or New York, they're driving through. I went to North Carolina. I didn't know their laws, but I studied them. And when I went there, I realized I could do this. You know, I could carry my stuff. In the end, we keep doing this different thing, and what do we get? Two Americas. Just two Americas. And we can't be two Americas. We got to be the same America eventually, right? I mean, I just don't understand why we keep going down this road, all right? We're going down a road that it's not going to be good for us. It's going to be the opposite of good. And I think it's dangerous. We have to get to a point that people realize you're going to have to give some to get. That's just the way it works. That's the way of the fucking world. You can't keep having separate rules for thee and I, because it's just going to keep ruining our goddamn country. And I think that's the biggest thing that disappoints the shit out of me. We're at a point in our country where we have people on the left and right pushing this shit, and we get, you know, two presidential candidates who fucking suck. All right, they suck. And this is what we have to vote for. And they both... One doesn't even know what's going on as administration. The other's going to take over and do a bunch of shit just like Biden do. A bunch of conservative executive orders and stuff. And some of them are good. But we can't keep doing this. We have to start doing legislation. We have to start having people come to Congress and do shit. That's our problem. We don't do anything anymore. We get one thing done in the first year, then we start fucking politicking again. And because we're so torn and the media is sore left, the right can't really get anything done. And America keeps saying the left's going too far left, so we get the right to block the left and we don't do anything. It's bullshit. Across the board, it's total bullshit. It's becoming something that is untenable. It's why we have huge debt. That's why we use crime. This is why we have everything. We just don't have a cohesive government. It worries more about tweets and CNN than executing their sworn duties. And that wraps up another episode of Flyover Politic Podcast. Share with your family and friends. Go to Flyover Politic with a K, SoundCloud, Rumble, 482-467. Email the show at foppodcast@gmail.com. foppodcast@gmail.com. Disconnect from all your devices. Don't give the yeah yes. We're going to go with a, finally, old dude music review on 6 April, year of our Lord, 2024. And we will go with a 8 or 9 April flyover politic. Let me clear the deck out. Get some new subject. It's kind of boring. As always, thank you for listening and take care.